Other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Thursday. It's June 5th.
Good morning.
Hi, Charlotte. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good. We're both looking awake.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
You seem awake to me.
I am.
I don't know how I am awake, but I am.
Yeah, because you went to see Barry Gibb last night, right?
I did. I went to see Barry Gibb, and the whole of Facebook knows that now.
Well,
because I made so many posts about
it. I loved it. I've always wanted to go to the Hollywood Bowl, and I've always loved the Bee Gees.
Really?
So that would be my
Yeah, you would have enjoyed
concert.
It. Oh my gosh. I wish you had known. And, I mean, there were actually tickets left, you know, because I guess, you know, I mean, it's an older generation, mm-hmm. you know, and stuff. So, I mean, there were some young people there, but for the most part, you know, I think I may have been the youngest one there. No, I'm kidding. But
I know every Bee Gees song.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I love it all.
That's amazing.
I absolutely love it. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my gosh, I wish I'd known.
I know. Because, you know, he lost both his brothers.
Mm-hmm.
And, well, actually three of them. Andy Gibb also, who was not part of the Bee Gees, but he was
right.
the youngest brother. And he died from overdose. And so that was like a long time ago when he died. I think it was in the 80s or something. And it was very sad, you know. I mean, and then the Bee Gees are like Barry Gibb, who's the oldest. And then
mm-hmm.
Maurice and Robin are the twins
right.
that are younger. And so Maurice died a few years ago from some complications or maybe cancer, I'm not sure. And then Robin died like last year or 2 years ago. So it was just, yeah, so so Barry Gibb decided to do a tour on his own and, you know, sort of like pay homage to his brothers. And
right.
So it was pretty interesting. I mean, first of all, he brought the daughter of Maurice, the one that died. She was singing there. And
wow.
That was pretty exciting and emotional. And then Barry's son was there. And so he gave him a couple songs to sing. But this guy's like so un-Bee Gees that
really?
You wouldn't even realize. I mean,
yeah.
this is like heavy rock.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's got like this really raspy voice. And you go, what is he doing?
Yeah.
You know,
did
I mean,
that
he,
fit in? Or
no,
was
it did
weird?
Not fit in at
yeah.
all. It didn't fit in at all. So, but, you know, and then he had, well, he's got, Barry Gibb's got like three backup singers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, they did very well. And one of them, you know, then, because Barry Gibb has written songs for many people.
Right.
And, you know, some people don't even realize it. But, you know, like the Barbra Streisand duo that they
mm-hmm.
did, they did a few of them. And so one of the backup singers sang the Barbra Streisand part. And we were just blown away.
Wow.
I mean, at parts, she sounded just like her.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, I mean, to get to that point and to sing next to Barry Gibb, you know, on a stage is
yeah.
pretty cool, you know.
Yeah.
For someone who's not known and that, you know.
Right. For just a backing singer.
Yeah.
So, and that's strong, big boots to fill.
It is. I mean, the voice. So... So, yeah, so that was nice, and they sang all the songs. And then I was telling you before the show that they did the song I Started a Joke,
mm-hmm.
which is a Robin song, really. And so Barry Gibb started singing it, and then before you realized it, you're hearing Robin singing it, and you see that they mixed the video, you know, from a previous concert or something,
right?
And then he was singing it, you know, and everybody was singing it together, and it was just amazing. I mean, you know, it really like brings back memories.
Yeah.
And You know, I don't know that many people. I mean, some people don't even know Barry Gibb. They know the Bee Gees, but if you mention Barry Gibb, they don't
know
who he is.
Right, they don't know the brother's name.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, but he's, to me, he's always been like the biggest idol. If you ask me in music, who is the biggest guy, that's it. You know, so for me to have gone there was a real treat, you know?
Yeah.
So
well, they're just great. They were always, I remember driving through Boston, with my mom and my dad, and we were listening to the Bee Gees in the car.
Really?
And it was the Bee Gees album.
Oh, wow.
And we were all singing along. That's like such a vivid memory.
Yeah.
It's crazy, and I still love them.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you know, and they got a little stigma during the disco years. I mean, their songs were very famous, but then they were so overplayed, and some people were not prepared for those falsetto voices that they sing in, you know, the really high voice. Mm-hmm. Some people think it just sounds like chipmunks or something, you know. Maybe sometimes it does. I don't know. But I like it. It's a different kind of...
me too.
You know. And then Barry's got all these different voices that he has.
Right.
You know, he's got the really high voice.
He has a big range.
Yeah. And then he's got this really, like, you know, whispery voice. Mm-hmm. Eerie voice, and then he's got this like really like blaming it all, you know.
So that's one of my favorite songs on the Nights on Broadway.
Nights on Broadway.
Yeah.
In fact, you know, when the Bee Gees were like early on in their sixties and seventies, I wasn't really aware of them because I mean they were popular during the Beatle times and stuff too. So from the main course album, which is where Nights on Broadway and Jive Talking and we're on, that's the album that really got my attention.
Right.
So that was like 1975 or something. And I thought, wow, these guys are really cool, you know. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, that was an album where they changed their style too.
Yeah.
They moved away from the 60s style, you know. But yeah, he did old songs. He did newer songs. What else? Yeah, it was... You know, and you look at him and he's like 67 years old and yet, you know, you go, the voice is still as strong.
Still that.
You know.
Yeah. It's crazy how you don't lose something like that.
Yeah, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see like these old acts like Aerosmith and the Rolling Stones and stuff.
Right.
These guys are in their 60s, 70s.
Yeah, Steven Tyler. I mean, the notes that he hits.
Yeah.
It's insane.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know. And they're able to still, because a rocker's, I guess, always a rocker.
Right, completely.
They're always going to be singing.
It must have been emotional for him.
Yeah.
Is he doing a tour, or was it just
He did a tour of six cities, and this was the last one.
Really?
So I don't know if he's going to be back on stage or not, but this was, it was pretty nice, you know. And then, but it wasn't full, that's what I'm saying. I mean, the Hollywood Bowl is pretty... It's pretty big, though, but it wasn't full. You know, there was a section, and then you started seeing people scattered in that section, and you realize they're all smoking pot until the security comes, you know.
I'd never been to I haven't been to the Hollywood Bowl, and I never even knew what it looked like until I saw your photo on Facebook.
Really?
I was like, wow, that's so cool. I have to go there.
It does. It looks like a shell.
Yeah.
You know, and it gives a really good sound and stuff. And it's a lot of fun. Yeah, you go there, there's food, there's...
Lots
of people. And I haven't been to a concert in a long, long time.
Right.
But this summer, there's a lot of concerts that I want to go to, like Boston and Toto and who else is coming? Asia. These, I mean, all groups from the 80s that I really miss. So it will be nice to go see that.
I want to see Luke Bryan. He's coming in October with, I think, Lee Bryce. And some other country artist.
Oh, those are country singers?
Yeah, country singers. Okay. They're coming October. But tickets are just so expensive. I've been to see Luke Bryan in Tallahassee. I mean, I've been to see him for free. I've probably been to see him about 5-6 times total. I've been to see him where I paid $20 and I could literally probably touch him if I tried.
Really?
Yeah. Whereas the Hollywood Bowl, they're like almost $200 and I'm just like... I don't think, and that's for a bad seat.
Yeah.
I just don't think I can pay that.
But you know what? It does depend on the concert. I mean, here, I guess they, towards the end, they weren't selling that many because you see what happened is as much as I like him, I can't plan like long term.
Right.
You know, so like people, you know, they plan like a trip a year ahead or something.
Yeah.
I can't do that. You know, so when the tickets came out in February, I thought, God, that's 4 or 5 months from now. Forget it. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I just let it sort of allowed it to be sold out.
Mm-hmm.
But then we saw like on something like a like Groupon, they had the tickets for $35.
Wow.
Yeah. So, you know, so we got them. And,
yeah.
And that was... That's what I'm saying. I mean, it was amazing. I don't know that I would have spent $200 on a ticket.
Right.
That's a lot of money.
A lot of money.
You know, and then there's many people that spend, you know, in upwards of a couple thousand to sit really close.
Yeah. Well, and it's like that, the Kings game that went on last night.
Uh-huh.
They're in the Stanley Cup. They made it to the final.
Oh, wow.
Tickets were being sold for like $2,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow.
Crazy money.
Yeah.
Crazy money.
I know.
And it's just insane that people spend this money.
I know. Well, they have it.
Yeah. I guess if you have it, why not?
Yeah, you know. I know. So, yeah. I mean, that's how it happens.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it was good memories, you know. And he brought in, like I said, members of the family. And you know that his mother is still alive. And that's got to be tough to see to see your children die before you.
She must be old. What,
yeah, 90s? She's probably like 90s or something. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
She's lived a long, nice life.
Yeah.
That's cool, getting to see your children be in a band together. And now so many bands break up and fall out.
Right.
Like the Jonas Brothers. And
yeah,
I really don't like them, but but they broke up.
Oh, really? How long ago was that? Recent?
It was probably like 8 months ago that they broke up that I saw that they just had a big falling out.
Yeah.
They can't work together anymore. And that's
it's hard.
Sad.
Yeah, it is. But imagine these people work at such close proximity for so long, they get on each other's nerves.
Yeah.
And then you get egos, and then, you know, you get creative types who each one thinks they're the best.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what happens.
And can't decide on anything. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, Barry even mentioned it. That sometimes he and Robin would have like fights and stuff like that, and then Morris would come and sort of bridge between them. So it does happen.
So he spoke and stuff too?
Yeah.
Wow. That's
of course.
Cool.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really
so yeah, it was nice, you know.
Yeah.
And it's unfortunate they don't let you bring in cameras though, you know, because with camera, you could get like, you can really zoom in and everything. But there's nothing they can do, obviously, about phones. And you know what also occurred to me is, you know, as it got dark and stuff, you started seeing all the phones in the audience, and there were so many. I mean, you could see the light, you know, from the phones. And it reminded me the concerts when people light their lighters and stuff, you know.
And sway.
Right. So that's how it looks with the phones. You know, this is like the modern day concert.
Yeah.
You know?
That's true.
Yeah. And then you had like really older people that are speaking foreign languages, and you go, what have they got to do with the Bee Gees, you know?
Right.
But they do. I mean,
I guess they were a worldwide known band.
Yes, yes. They're very widely known. Mm-hmm. And in fact, in some places, they were more popular than here.
Yeah.
Yeah, in Europe and stuff. You know, they were born in England and grew up in Australia.
I did know that.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, yeah, so that's that, and everybody was very excited and happy, so that was my concert, and if you guys want to see some pictures, you can see, but obviously not close-ups, but at least you can get
they
a
were,
feel
they were, yeah, they were
for
really
the Hollywood
cool
Bowl,
photos,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
yeah, definitely. I was like, oh, my gosh, that's so cool.
Yeah, so you can go there. I mean, they have a lot of concert series and things like that, you know. I mean, I'm not into classical music, but some people are, and supposedly it's a lot of fun. But they do get like, you know, I think Paul McCartney was there a few months ago.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah,
so they get big names.
Yeah, they get the big names.
Mm-hmm.
I remember, in fact, there's some old albums. Like I remember a Neil Diamond album that was recorded probably in the 70s, 80s was done at the Hollywood Bowl.
Oh, really?
And I remember, yeah, that's when I first heard of it. I was still in Israel at the time. And yeah, so they recorded several concerts there, I think.
Very cool.
Yeah.
It looked like such a cool, just a fun location.
Yeah.
Not like you're stuck inside.
Yeah, it is. You know, you go and it's fun. It's outdoors. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know what the funny thing is? I mean, you wouldn't even believe this. So, we get off the freeway to pull up, and, you know, the traffic has just stopped because there's a lot of cars. And so, we're, like, totally stopped. And then somebody's beeping, and I'm like, you know, we didn't think of anything. And I hear beeping again, so I'm looking in my rearview mirror. My ex-wife, my first wife, and her husband are in the car honking to me. They recognize me from the back. I don't know how. I mean,
Gosh.
They know my car, but how could they tell it's me?
Yeah.
So it's so funny, you know, they're waving to me. And I go, what are the chances, you know, of all the people in the world in a large city in
right
LA,
behind.
Right behind me going to the same concert?
Wow.
Yeah. But I mean, I wasn't surprised that she was going to the concert because I remember when we were married, we went to a Bee Gees concert up in Universal when they still had concerts there. And we were allowed backstage. We actually met them.
Wow.
We met the Bee Gees. And we still have a couple pictures. I think she has them. And that was a long time ago. But it was, it was a big event for me too.
I bet that's cool.
Yeah. So I'm not surprised that she was going, but I mean, what are the chances?
For them
chances?
To be right behind you. And, that's hilarious.
So then we were just hoping we wouldn't see them once we parked. And we were lucky we did.
Like, hopefully we're not parked close by.
Yeah. And it was my daughter's birthday yesterday, so happy birthday, Sarah. And we weren't here yesterday to wish her a happy birthday, so I'm doing this today. And never mind, she hasn't had any time for me, but I still love you and...
Aww.
And and whatever. You know, what can you do?
Yeah.
You know. Mm-hmm. But, like, you're very close with your mom.
Yeah.
And I think most girls are very close with their moms.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the case here. But why is it the expense of the father? I don't know.
Yeah.
Sometimes it is, you know. But I think people are saying, she'll come around. She'll come back and stuff.
She will.
I hope
so. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. So how was your last couple of days? Did you do anything exciting or just working? Or any
I
new
worked.
Gigs?
I went to a Dodger game on Tuesday. What day is it today? Thursday.
Today's
Thursday. So Tuesday.
Uh-huh.
I'd never been to the Dodger Stadium. Mm. So that was cool.
Yeah, I was there last year. It's pretty cool, huh?
It's a really nice stadium. Really nice.
Did you get
stadium.
To sit in the boxes or anything?
No, we sat. We were like four rows back.
Oh, okay, nice.
So we had really nice seats, and we were just surrounded by ex-basketball players, baseball players.
Really?
It was cool. Yeah,
nice.
We ran some really cool people.
Yeah.
And it was fun. It was just, I love baseball because it's relaxing.
Really?
It's not much that goes on, but it's just relaxing.
Not much that goes on. That's exactly right.
It's complete opposite to last night. I watched the hockey game.
Yeah.
And that's so much going on.
Yeah.
And
did you go to that game or watch it on TV?
No, I watched it on TV.
Okay.
I wish I went. But it's just so action-packed. I mean, if you blink, you can miss something.
Yeah.
Whereas baseball, you could take a 10-minute nap and probably nothing much has happened.
I know. I first went there last year. And because I'd never been there because I'm not into baseball. But I was invited to be in one of the suites. So we went in, and it's really cool. They have food and booze and things like that. So I wasn't even paying attention to the game.
Right.
It just felt good to be there.
Yeah, definitely. And I like the atmosphere of those games. And
and
I was shocked with the food.
Yeah.
The options for food was just insane.
Really?
I've never seen. I've been to the Anaheim Stadium, and I've been to the Oakland Stadium.
Uh-huh.
But the food selection at Dodger Stadium was insane.
Wow.
It was just so much you could get. You could get sushi, obviously fries, burgers, and chicken fingers. But there was just so much. And craft beer.
Yeah.
It was like all these different craft beers.
Right.
It was like a luxury dinner.
Yeah, it sounds like it. And it probably cost as much, too.
It did.
I can tell you. I mean, at the place where we went yesterday, the beer... Like, beer was $16 for a small one.
Oh, wow.
$20 for a big one. Yeah, we got a sandwich. It was $12 or something. So, they really stick it to you in these places.
Yeah, they do.
So, it's good to take food. Sometimes they don't allow you to take food. I mean, they were looking into bags and purses.
Right.
Yeah.
But I've never tried to take food, so I don't know if they take food away.
Yeah.
But they had these nachos. I didn't get them. But they were in a baseball hat. So they were huge, like one of the helmets. And they had, it was just filled with nachos. That
really?
Was like one of the things you could get. It's like, oh my God, that looks so good.
And you were having a field day with
all the
fast food and stuff.
Yeah. Awesome. I restrained myself.
Yeah.
I'm doing well the past couple weeks. Well, the past week or so, I've been doing a lot better.
Great. So what do you eat instead now? Salads more or something? Really?
Yeah. I had a banana for breakfast.
Yeah, you should have seen your face fall.
I know, right?
Yeah.
My face completely fell. But then it sucks because I do well during the week, but then at the weekends, like I'm going to another wedding this weekend, and I just know I'm going to eat bad and drink a lot. It's like, dang it. So then there's no point me eating healthy. Well, I guess there is point me eating healthy, but I'm just kind of like, what am I trying to say? I'm having a brain fart, but
yeah, no,
you get what I'm saying.
Yeah,
I'm
I do. I get exactly what you're saying. Yeah,
I'm counting it out, I guess.
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying because I mean, you on the one hand you're like losing weight, and the other you're gonna
and then
gain
I'm gaining
weight,
it right back at
so
the weekend.
It's gonna cancel it. Yeah, cancel it out.
So I'm back to square one.
Exactly. So yeah, so you between weddings can diet. You know,
I know, right?
You get so many of them now. Huh?
I know.
I guess everybody your age is getting married now. Huh?
Yeah. Well, they're like late 20s.
Right.
But a lot of people.
Yeah.
A lot of people.
These are,
married.
These are the ages to get married. Mm-hmm. I think if you wait for your 30s, it's too late. I mean, not too late. It's never too late. But if you're going to have kids, you want to be young.
That's what I think a lot of women think. I think they see it as like a ticking clock.
Yeah, that's it. But it's also how you deal with the kids. I think it's a lot easier. You have a lot more energy in your 20s, your 30s. Even your 30s, early 30s and stuff. That's when I had my kids. And you feel that. I mean, already then, there were times where I couldn't keep up with them. They were just, you know, they were all
so
over the
energetic.
Place. Yeah, you know, when they were like, you know, 6, 5, 4 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I would get them. I would spend a couple of days with them, like on the weekend or something. And sometimes I would just want a nap and I couldn't get one. So what I'm saying is, you know, as you get older, you have a little less patience and energy for this.
Uh-huh.
So I think it's a good idea. But first, get everything out of your system, at least as much as you can.
Right.
You know, date different people, see what's out there. Because I think, you know, once you get married, you're always going to wonder what missed, what's going on, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So you never know. But
definitely.
Yeah.
And I think I've said this before. I think a lot of guys especially need to just get out of the system.
Right.
You're so right. And girls, too, to some extent. But
yeah, girls, too. I think so. You know, I think some people have like a high school sweetheart type of a wedding.
Right.
And I think these people miss out on a lot. You know, I mean,
yeah, that's a long time to be with someone.
Yeah,
from high school.
Especially that early in your life.
Yeah, that's like 16 years old.
Yeah, you know,
that's a long time.
Yeah,
if it works out, that's like,
yeah, it's a miracle.
Yeah, it could be like 50, 60 years of marriage.
Yeah, I know.
Long time.
I know. I mean, Barry Gibb said he'd been married for, or he has been married for 40 years now.
Wow.
40, 45 years. That's a long time.
That is a long time.
You know, especially when you're in show business and you can have anybody you want.
That's what I don't like about showbiz, because you hear about all these couples that are parting and people are cheating.
Uh-huh.
And you don't hear the good stories that people are happy. It's like you never hear about those. You just hear about the terrible couples. I mean, I heard that who's a big couple? I heard Beyonce and Jay-Z. I saw in a magazine that they're going through a terrible divorce, and it's like, are they really? Well, you never know if they are, but it's never, they're happy in love now.
Yeah.
They're fighting about divorce. It's like,
really?
Oh.
Is that true? I mean,
I don't know. It's all stemming from the fight that Beyonce's sister
had with him.
Right? Yeah. It's all stemming from that, because apparently the secret's been let out. But I don't know what the secret is. I don't know. It's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But apparently now they're in talks of divorce. And
wow.
I don't know how much I believe of that, though. They seem a pretty together couple.
You think they're tight?
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Yeah.
Just from not that I know them, just from an onlooker. We talk as if we know them.
I know.
I have no idea who they are. Like, Beyonce seems like a really cool person, but she might not be.
Exactly.
For all I know.
You never know. Yeah. You never know. I mean, we love them because they sing well.
Right.
They make us feel good with their music. But yeah, we don't know who they are. Mm-hmm. Especially, I mean, and also with actors and stuff, you know. You might like the character on screen, but if you meet the real person, yeah.
Yeah. See, I feel like I would really like Leonardo DiCaprio, but the fact that he still doesn't have a girlfriend or a wife, I'm just like, what's wrong with you? There's got to be something wrong.
There's nothing wrong. He can get any woman he wants. Why would he settle down?
True. You know? But he never has.
Oh, really?
No.
Why? He was with, what's her name, no?
But not a wife. They were never married.
Right.
Like, why don't you want to get married?
Right.
You don't want to marry someone?
Maybe he does, but what's his rush, you know?
Yeah.
But, yeah, not everybody needs, somebody next to them all the time.
It's true, and I also see him as, 50 years old because I've been watching his movies for so long. And how old is he? Probably, 30-something?
No, he's probably in his 40s. He's got to be. Don't you think?
I don't know, because I thought the other day that Chris Brown was probably in his 30s and he's 24 or something.
Really?
Palmer, exactly. Let me look.
Yeah, look it up and see. That's very interesting because I thought, because the thing is with Leonardo DiCaprio is he looks very young. He still looks like 18 years old.
Right.
So it's hard to pinpoint exactly how old he is. But I'm sure we're going to find it in just a second.
He's 39.
You are? Yeah. So you're right. Well, almost 40. Okay.
Almost 40, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, when you said 30s, I pictured 33. I thought he can be. But... yeah, so, yeah, he's... yeah, well, if you want him, you better hurry up. He's
getting up there. Yeah, his partner was between 2000 and 2005. It was Gisele Bündchen.
Oh, yeah, Bündchen. Gisele Bündchen or something. And then he was with Bara Faeli, too. So he likes models, I guess.
Yeah.
I don't blame him.
Right.
So do all the rockers and everything, you know. That's what happens. I mean, a lot of rockers and actors have hooked up with models
because
that's where the beauty is.
Right.
Yeah.
It says here that he refused to be filmed for Keeping Up with the Kardashians at an event attended by Bruce and Brody on Sunday, June 1st. So I guess they were filming for Keeping Up with the Kardashians and Leonardo DiCaprio refused to be seen on the camera for that.
Really?
Which I can somewhat see where he's coming from there. I mean, he's a big... A-list celebrity.
Right.
And the Kardashians, I mean, yeah, Bruce Jenner
was famous.
Yeah, and went to... he won
gold,
right?
Was it the Olympics, yes.
But he's married to the Kardashian... well, he's not anymore, but the Kardashian clan... I mean, now they're a multi-million dollar empire.
Right.
But there's a difference between the Kardashians and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, there is.
Completely. Big difference. So I can see where he's coming from there.
Yeah. I know. I probably wouldn't want to do it either.
I know, right? Yeah.
So everybody's got a reality
show. And it also says that
Paris
Hilton, Kim Kardashian's former best friend, also refused to be filmed for the show. So people turning the Kardashians down.
Wow. Yeah.
The new season star, you definitely don't watch the Kardashians, but and neither do I anymore. I think I watched the first season or right when it first started. The new season starts again on Sunday.
Yeah.
It shows
maybe
Kim's
I'll check
wedding
it out just to
and
see.
Yeah. And there's rumors that Courtney's pregnant again.
Oh, really?
Third child, which she shouldn't be because her boyfriend sucks.
Really?
Yeah. He.
Oh, so she's not even married?
No. They're No, their boyfriend, girlfriend, and he, I mean, they've had so many troubles and all on camera.
Yeah.
He's an owner of nightclubs or does something with nightlife. And when they were in Miami filming for one of their seasons, he would party all night when she had a baby and come home and punch mirrors. And he's just crazy, cheat on her.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Oh,
but
wow.
She's still with him. Yeah. They seem happy now.
I know. Some women do that. They stay. They don't go anywhere.
But apparently there's rumors she might be pregnant with her third child. I guess. I don't think Kim's new child will be shown on the show. New baby, North. And I don't think Kanye will be. I always find that couple a little strange, too.
I know.
Kim and Kanye.
A strange couple.
Yeah.
Yeah. But what can he do?
Kanye wrote a song about Kim way back. 4 or 5 years ago. So
really?
Obviously there's always been something there.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he wrote a song about her. And it caused problems at the time because I think when she was with Chris Humphreys, her ex-husband.
Who's now with Mariah Carey, right? Is that him?
No.
Oh, no, that's a guy that married Kim Kardashian. What's the name of the other guy that's Mariah Carey's husband?
Nick Cannon.
Okay, thank you. I always get confused.
Kind of close.
Them, yeah. I don't know why, because I don't know either of them. I just heard of them.
Nick Cannon's an African-American
right.
funny guy.
And
Chris Humphrey's a white basketball player.
Oh, okay. Okay, why do I get confused? It's just the names, I think. I don't know.
That's one couple that stayed together, Mariah Carey and Nick Cannon.
Yeah.
They've done pretty well.
That's true.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I mean, those celebrities, you know, they become like our royalty here.
I know.
And we just are fascinated with it.
I watched something last night, a documentary on D-Day, because mm-hmm. it's coming up. It was June 6th. It was, I don't know what year ago. I think it's going to be the 70th anniversary.
Yeah, 70 years after, after the invasion.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was really interesting.
Yeah.
Really cool.
Oh, so you watched it?
Something about it, yeah.
Wow.
It was D-Day's Sacrifice. That was what it was called. And I don't know if the footage was real. Mm. I hope so, because it kind of made you believe more what was going on. And they showed all the airplanes in the sky and the boats in the water with all the soldiers getting off.
Right.
It was like... And I don't know if they would really want to reenact that stuff that much for just a documentary. I don't know. Maybe they would. But it was really, really interesting. And then there's loads of articles out about it.
Yeah. I mean, that was a day really that saved the world,
right.
You know, at least Europe.
This article is saying that, because a lot of people think that it was the Americans that did most of predominantly an American operation, but I guess it was mainly British.
Yes. It was launched from Britain, and it was a British
thing. And two-thirds of the 1,200, I think, was it 1,200 planes that were that were used were British.
Yeah. It was mostly Britain because they were threatened the most, you know.
Yeah, the warships that were used, 200 were American and 892 were British.
Wow, that's a lot of ships.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. It was insane. The numbers that were used were insane. I think it was,
really?
It might even have been 2,400 planes and 1,200. It was just ridiculous, the amount of.
Yeah. They needed that much force, I guess, to do that.
Yeah, it was crazy to watch.
Wow.
It was really
cool.
And
I was reading also about the weather, how if the weather had turned bad, then they would have. It would have been hard for them to land because they were landing in rocks, and if it was like a certain type of day, then they would have been seen and all that stuff. So they just needed like perfect weather, and they waited for it until they predicted it.
Mm-hmm.
So that was interesting too, and we definitely have to thank the West for saving the world, really.
Definitely.
I mean, it was really hard times then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And seeing all the mother, just the people scrambling around. And then there was photos put on the TV. And I was thinking, how are these? But not everyone died. And a lot of people survived and were in shelters. But there was photos that were taken by a photographer showing all the people, soldiers leaving the water to come onto the land, but so many were just floating dead in the water that had already been shot.
Wow.
And Eisenhower had said he was going up and saying something to every single soldier before they left.
Wow.
But said it sucked because 8 out of 10 weren't going to make it back.
Yeah.
It's like, ooh.
I know. Wow. They knew that already, Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was a big sacrifice. That's why they called it sacrifice, I guess. Huh? Yeah.
Very intense.
Very intense. Very intense stuff.
I also watched a Wild Wild West movie last night. It was set in like the 1750s or something. But it was based off a true story. It was like all these old cowboys.
Uh-huh.
And at first I was like, I hate this. Why am I watching this? But I really got into it.
Really?
I ended up falling asleep. But it was cool to see. Like, first I'd watched a movie about documentary about D-Day. Then I watched something about that was way back with the Cowboys.
Right.
I was like, gosh, everything was so violent.
I know.
It was just shooting, 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 shooting.
I know. That's why I'm saying, you know, people say we're a violent society. I think we've always been violent.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
even
just...
more so, I think it was more violent then.
Yeah.
Because now it's not people on walking...
Yeah,
taking
the law into their own hands like
exactly,
they did then. Yeah.
Exactly.
I know.
Like, yes, there's certain people that do that,
right.
But it's not everyone that's carrying around a gun strapped
right.
to the belt.
I know.
Which is a good thing.
Yeah.
And riding a horse.
Yeah. You know, what's funny is the other day we talked about guns, how we both think they shouldn't be, you know, in the hands of people because they cause a lot of accidents. And rarely are they used really for self-defense and stuff. And so somebody, I guess, had listened to the show, and she tells me, she goes, so you like guns? And I'm like, no, I totally don't like guns. On the contrary,
yeah,
I don't. And so I told her, I said, you didn't listen to the whole portion of it, did you? To the whole segment. And she said, no, I didn't. So it just shows you like how... You can take things out of context,
right?
And they would mean the exact opposite thing of what you were saying.
From what we were saying, yeah.
So how many times does this happen, you know, when people are quoted in the paper and things
completely,
you know?
Completely.
Yeah. And they said something else.
Mm-hmm, they just take a short snippet of maybe three words that you've said and
right.
then paraphrase the rest.
Right.
And they can paraphrase any which way to make you look bad.
Yeah. Yeah, they do that.
Yeah.
So that was funny. To think that, you know, she said, I love guns.
Wow.
You know? No, I mean, I don't love guns. I don't even like them.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't think they belong in a modern society where there's... Yeah, I mean, look, people are always going to complain about the police, the government. They don't protect us. They don't do this. They don't do that. But the reality is that it works.
Yeah.
Our society works.
Mm-hmm.
And to put guns in the hands of people... Almost every day you hear of kids, you know, a gun going off, kids dying, you know, people shooting themselves, shooting other people. I mean, what is that?
And it was like the story we briefly touched, I think you touched on Tuesday with the two 12-year-old girls in Wisconsin stabbed someone.
Yeah, their friend, also a 12-year-old girl.
And it's just how they would even know... How to stab. I mean, not just, oh my gosh.
Yeah. No, I know. And 19 times, Charlotte.
Yeah.
I mean, and the fact that she survived, how do you survive 19 stabs?
I don't know.
You know, I mean, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And it just shows you how sometimes when it's not your time, then
definitely,
you survive, you know?
Definitely. And I believe in the way everything works out. If something doesn't work out, then something's right around the corner that... It's going to be 10 times better and 10 times
exactly.
more worth the while.
Exactly. You know, but for some people that are depressed and stuff, they can't see that.
Right.
But this was not the case with these girls. They were fascinated with someone called Slender Man, who's like a character.
A horror movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess this character requires that you kill people and things like that. So they talked her into going to the woods. And... The thing is, look, I mean, they're good friends. Why would you even suspect something was wrong?
Right.
And
but what are 12-year-olds doing going into the woods by themselves with a knife and watching horror movies? And
yeah.
My 12-year-old will not be doing that.
No, huh? That's true. But, you know, in the small towns, they're not worried that much about kids playing outside.
Right.
So they still have, like, traditional childhood, I think, where they have the forest and the fields and... The mountains and all these things that they can go, but so they charged the girls with murder.
Wow!
Not murder. I'm sorry. Attempted murder.
Attempted.
Right? Yeah. And they're like they're 12 years old. I mean, you know, how do you sentence someone to that? But yeah, so they're charged as adult, and the bail was set at $500,000 for each.
Wow!
Yeah. Can you imagine, I mean, finishing your life that early? But you have to wonder how they got to be that way.
Exactly. There's got to be something.
Because I'm sure there's a lot of people fascinated with this character who don't do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I love
so
horror movies.
Snaps?
I love scary movies, but I don't kill people.
Yeah.
That's not, that doesn't make me think of anything like that. So it's got to be something that's kind of wired in you.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think people have, I mean, just imagine two 12-year-old girls who look innocent and they plan something like this, you know.
It's crazy.
Wow. Wow. So that's a sad story.
And it's premeditated because they
planned on this.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they're tried as adults and they're going to spend the rest of their lives in prison from the age of 12. Wow. You know.
Wow.
And so you have to think, though. I mean, these minds are very impressionable. And you're right. I mean, who would let them watch movies like this? And
Yeah.
I don't know, man. It's
I bet there's investigations going on.
Yeah. Oh, they call it first-degree intentional homicide.
Oh.
Yeah. Not attempted murder, but that's what they call it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Crazy.
First-degree intentional homicide. Hmm. I don't know. Anyway, let's see. What else? This story captured me because people have been talking about racism and everything. Did you hear about this guy in Tennessee and in Memphis? And I guess this was a supervisor at a, I don't know what kind of business, at a warehouse, a cotton warehouse. And he was recorded by an employee. The supervisor told him, "You're drinking from a white people fountain." And
what?
Yeah, he says, "You can't drink from here." You know, obviously the employee was a black guy. And so check out what he says. He says, "I need to put a sign here that says white people only, and then we hang you."
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, can you imagine still hearing this stuff in 2014? It's beyond comprehension.
This
is just now. I mean, this
where was it located?
Oh, in Memphis, Tennessee.
Wow.
Yeah, this just happened. So, yeah, I mean, it just goes to show you, you know, that, you know, people will talk about Sterling and all these things in the news, but there's a lot of people that still harbor these sentiments.
Yeah, completely.
You know, and I think the reverse is also true.
Mm-hmm.
The reverse is also true. I mean, there's black people who really
despise.
And,
yeah,
and they think that white people are out to get them, you know, and that's a problem as well.
Mm-hmm.
But to treat people like this, we thought we already forgot about all these things. So, yeah, and especially with phones today, you get recorded with everything that you say.
Mm-hmm.
So people have to shut up, man. Just shut up. You know, if you have any racist thoughts, just keep them to yourself.
And just generally, like, with negative comments, it's like, if you don't have anything positive to say, just don't say it.
Yeah.
Because you're bringing everyone else around you down.
Right.
With you. And it just gets old.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's sad stuff.
It is. It is sad.
But it's probably going to take a few generations before this thing goes away.
Definitely.
You know, because still in our generation, we remember the civil rights movement and there was still a lot of discrimination early in the last century, you know. But I think so. Yeah. I mean, I think a few more generations, it's going to go away. People will be so removed from it.
I hope so. It just shows that we really haven't come a long way.
Yeah. Yeah, well, I think as a society we have, but there's always going to be people, you know? I mean, But I think we've come a long way. Look, we have a black president. We have, you know,
that's
blacks
true.
In every position.
Yeah.
So I think those that are, that free themselves from all this hatred and all this resentment and allow themselves to actually succeed and work hard and stuff, they make it.
Right.
Doesn't matter if you're black or white, you make it.
Exactly.
You know, you got to take charge of your life. You can't just like hope that things will be given to you and to think you're a victim.
And nothing is given to anyone.
Right.
Unless you're someone's daughter.
Right.
The Hilton's daughter.
Yeah.
She probably got things given to him.
Or Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah, but
he gets free stuff, I'm sure.
But the everyday person doesn't get anything given to them.
Right.
And you have to work. And even they had to work for where they've got to.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody does, you know. It doesn't work. But the opportunity is here in this country now, and I'm happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I really am.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Okay, more things. Marijuana may affect fertility in young men. So the first thing is, I'm not a young man anymore, so it's okay. I'm not looking to be fertile at this age, so that's okay. And I already had my kids, and they were born fine, so I didn't have fertility problems then. Mm-hmm. And I'd been smoking since I was 18 years old, so relax. You know, I mean, but they're saying that the size and shape of the sperm changes. And, you know, I mean, it's possible. Look, everything you put in your body is going to change your thing.
Exactly. You know? I think everything you put in, and it's all about, if you're smoking 10 blunts a day, then it's going to change a lot of things.
Yeah.
But, right?
There's people that smoke that much.
And exactly. Yeah. Everything is bad for you these days.
Yeah, it is, you know, and... Mm-hmm. I mean, what about the medication that you take that the doctor prescribes to you,
right.
You know? I mean, it's like, the side effects that are more dangerous than these things. Mm-hmm. Did you ever listen to, like, commercials on TV about medication and stuff? It's like,
if you have this, then please consult a doctor before
you take it. If you have headaches or you feel like you're going to die, and sometimes it may cause death, it's like, my God, you know, who would even want to take it?
Right.
But the doctors give it to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So how can that be any better? I don't know. Marijuana, at least, is natural.
Yeah. I guess.
I'm never going to change my mind about it. Makes me feel good.
But honestly, I feel like that is... something too. If you think that you're okay and it makes you feel good, then you're gonna be fine.
Yeah.
And it's just like when athletes go out and party a lot,
right?
And then they wake up the next day and kill it in a game.
Yeah. Or
they're obviously okay with, they've accepted, I'm just doing this, I need to let go before the game tomorrow. Right. Athletes that go out and have the mentality, oh, I shouldn't be doing this is bad for me, are the ones that then don't perform.
Right.
Because
exactly.
They have this negative idea in their head that what they're doing is wrong, and it's all about acceptance. I mean, if you're happy doing it, then
that's my philosophy of life. And the thing is, for many years I felt guilty that I enjoyed it and stuff, and... to this day, I'm still mostly a closet smoker, although mm-hmm. I talk about it on the show all the time. But the people that know me, not many people know that I smoke, because there's still stigma to it. It's just in my head that I my son, I don't tell him I smoke, and he smokes, you know?
Right.
So it's not like I have to be afraid I'm going to influence him. He already mm-hmm. is.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I just never felt comfortable admitting this. And but you talk about addiction and stuff, or you talked about that it doesn't hurt you and stuff. I think an addiction becomes a problem when it affects your life, when it mm-hmm. interferes with your life. This doesn't interfere with my life. I'm totally functional.
Right.
I'm just able to be a little more mellow when I drive, you know, because mm-hmm. I don't get angry, so I think I'm a better driver.
Right.
You know, I don't mm-hmm. like cut in front of people and hurry to where I'm going. I actually enjoy the drive. Also, you know, when I work long hours and stuff, it's hard, you know, mm-hmm. to focus and stuff, because I'm a very restless, energetic person. You know, I feel like I can't sit for 2 minutes. So I'd climb the walls if I didn't.
Right.
So this, again, slows me down, makes me focused. I don't mind that I'm sitting there alone working and mm-hmm. stuff. So... yeah, so it works out.
It works
for you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, but if you're young and you plan fertility, like, I should tell my son to read this, but you know what? He doesn't care. I mean, you know, he's like too smart for his own sake, you know. Every time I talk to him about something, he starts quoting all these studies and everything.
Oh, wow.
the stuff he learns in college and that.
Yeah.
And he stumps you, you know. You can't...
Can't have a fight with someone
like that. Yeah, it's like, okay, so keep smoking. You know, what can I tell you? Yeah. All right, a couple more things. In Harvard, they discovered they have a book there that is bound with human skin. And now that sounds like grotesque and stuff, but they're saying that back in the 15th, 16th century, this was like in the... mid 1880s, I guess. Where did I see? I thought it was like, no, but now they're saying 17th century. So that was before that. They're saying that it was pretty common to do. It wasn't unusual or reviled to do that. You know, they take somebody mm-hmm. who died, take their skin, and buying books with it. I guess it's because, yeah, the book had to do with like life after death. Yeah, it's like it's got a name in French, so I don't know what the name of the book is.
That doesn't sound very nice.
No, I know. Yeah, so it's, yeah, so they discover that, and that's, yeah, that's, I don't know, gross, like you said.
Yeah.
You know, but it's amazing that they find these things and, you know.
And they know to that they can do that.
Yeah, to investigate it. I mean, why would you even think it's human skin? You
yeah,
know?
Totally. That's yeah. gross.
All right. Well, that's it for today. We got through 50 minutes, no problem.
Wow, yeah.
Without a guest. And because we always have a lot to talk about. Mm-hmm. And so that's it. We'll see you tomorrow.
All right. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte right here on LA Talk Radio.